All right, we're going to continue our series we started last week, joining God's dream team. And of course, the dream team is the church. Now we have, and I explained it last week, we have the ecclesia, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all of us. That's all of the local churches, all included, all of us. But we're talking specifically about the local church. And today, teamwork makes dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work. Okay? And so, you know, how many of you have noticed, if you hear some honking or and you look up in the sky and you see some ducks or some geese flying south? Anybody notice that? That's a yearly thing. And if you'll notice, they always are flying in a V formation. And it's been discovered that one of the reasons that they're flying that way is because as each bird flaps its wing, it creates uplift for the bird that is flying behind. And when they have the whole flock in that formation, it adds a 71% greater range. In other words, they can fly 71% farther as a group than they can if each bird is flying by itself. You know, and also, if the lead bird, when the lead bird begins to tire a little bit, because he's breaking the wind first, he's the lead one, he will fall back into formation and another one will drop up there. I don't know whether you ever watch any of them. Sometimes watch some of the bicycle races on the TV. What do you call that one over there? Tour de France. And then they have some here in the U.S. too. And they have a guy be up here. They're in teams, and there'll be a guy up front. And everybody else is tucked in behind him. But in a little bit, he drops out and falls to the back, and somebody else takes over because he's putting out more energy than the rest. But and if they're out there if a guy gets left by himself, he can't catch up. Most of the time he doesn't catch up because the pack just runs off and leaves him, because as they together they can do more. Now, one thing that happens when one of these birds gets sick or wounded and falls out of formation, two others fall out with him and follow him down to help him and protect until the bird dies or it's able to fly again. And only then do the two that go down to help him, only then do they leave, and they'll join another pack and try to catch up to their pack. Now that's some facts that's been found out through the years. Now there are many things that us as individuals, there are many things that increase our potential and our performance when we work together rather than working separately. You know, someone has said, I don't know who said this, a snowflake is one of God's most fragile creation, but look what happens when they stick together. You can make a snowman. You can make a snowball. You can't do it with one flake, but you can if you got a bunch of them together. And it's said about people that we can do amazing things and accomplish things that some people are saying impossible when we come together as the team. Now look at Acts chapter 6. Make that bigger on that screen, guys. I guess we got the two people. I don't see it up there. Oh, that's great, guys. I like that. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there rose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summons the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the work of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continued to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now that's the disciples talking. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, and then a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now I want you to notice that here in the early church, this is the early church, that things weren't getting taken care of. Now they were griping to the leaders, which was the disciples, and the disciples said to them, or it would be like stuff not getting taken care of, and y'all griping to me and to Bill and Greg and Roger and Tad and Craig, huh? Oh, and Marvin, yeah, he's not sitting there. He's with the offering. Okay, I know where he is. All right, you know, but we can't do our job. What those disciples saying? They could not do their job and do this. So they said, "Okay, we need your help." And so this is what they did. And so now they put these guys in charge of this. When they encountered a problem here in the early church, I want you to notice that the way they took care of the problem was to get the rest of the church involved. I can see that there are about 4 or 5 people that are amening because they realize, and the rest of you realize, that means I got to get involved. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. See, when we all work together in the church, we're the dream team. We're God's dream team. Then we're able to fulfill the dream or the vision that God has given us. And I didn't turn my phone off. I just heard it go off. I did that. I did check in, though. How many of you checked in at Rhema Bible Church? Good. If you didn't, check in. All right. Now, Henry David Thoreau said, "If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That's as it should be. It's okay. Now you have to put if you don't put foundations under them, then they are lost." That's what he's saying. You know, in any great endeavor, there must first be a dream or a vision. And then there has to be teamwork to accomplish it. You're sitting in a building that first of all was in mine and Lynette's head. I sat down with the architect and I started talking to Ross McCready and I started talking about what we wanted in a church building, and he started drawing drawings. And eventually we got something we liked. And then he drew a blueprint. But after that was 3 of us involved, okay? After that, it took hundreds of people involved to get this building erected. In fact, the steel company that did, this is a metal building and outside, we got the facade on the outside. But the steel company that designed, took the blueprints and then designed all of the deals, whatever you call all them things, the beams and everything. I don't know how many hundred of engineers worked on it. They had to go at that particular time. You got to remember, this is 89, I think, 90, because we moved in here in 92, so it's somewhere in that area, 89, 90, somewhere in there. And they had to go and buy more computers in order to do it all. And that's that part. Now, while that's going on, we got a company here that's starting to move dirt, because this dirt here, where we're at, there's about 3 feet of it. It's just clay, and it's just horrible. You had to take it all up. And how many of you were here? Remember, we had that big pile sitting out here. They called it Hagen's Mountain. Anybody remember Hagen's Mountain out there? That's what they called it here in town. There sits Charlie back there. See, then before we started that, and I had to hire Charlie. He was in charge of building all of this. And then it took the dirt work. After that's done, now you got to get people that are involved with drilling piers. After that's done, you got to get the concrete people in to pour the piers. Then you got to get the concrete people in here to pour all of the slab and all that. Now, I want you to notice that as this building was built, it took different teams working together to accomplish what we have here. It just didn't happen with just one group. It took different ones. So the early church had a dream, and they accomplished it with teamwork. They had a God-given dream to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what he told them to do. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, I want you to notice that was given to God's original dream team, the early church. We are part of God's dream team of the local church, and our marching orders are the same as those. In fact, in Acts 1:8, before Jesus ascended out into heaven, after he's raised from the dead, he had been 40 days walking on the earth, being seen by hundreds of people. He said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, I want you to notice that he's telling his disciples now that after the early church, now here at the early church, he's telling them, he tells them here in Matthew what to do. Here he's telling them, he said, "You go first to your hometown, Jerusalem." Jerusalem. Everybody wants to go somewhere else. He said Jerusalem, then the country, Judea, and then he told them to go to the place they hated, Samaria. The Jews hated the Samaritans. In fact, if you study and read Josephus and some of those books back there, you'll find out that the Jew would walk miles out of the way not to have to go through Samaria. And then he told them, then you go to the rest of the world. So this is the dream that is given, and that is for every one of us to get involved in doing what this church needs to do to fulfill the vision or the dream that God has given us. We are God's dream team for Broken Arrow. Hello. And it says when they came together as a team in unity and in fellowship, it says here in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then in Acts 4:20-31, they stood together as a team in the difficult times when Peter and John were getting thrown in prison for preaching. And then in Acts 6:1-7, they worked together as a team to take care of their problem. I already read that in the beginning. See, no one person tried to do it all. It was when everybody worked together as a team that the church experienced the power of God and fulfilled the dream. How many of you want Rhema Bible Church to fulfill the dream? The early church had a vision. We have a vision. They understood whether it was a visible position or an invisible position, all of it had to be done to accomplish the dream. In Acts 9:23, we see that some of the people let Paul down over the wall in the middle of the night so that he could live to preach another day. Now that may say that was, they were insignificant and probably mostly invisible because nobody, the Bible does not even list their names. All they say is some of the followers let him down so that he could escape, so he could preach again another day. But I mean, we all know about Paul. Now that may have been an insignificant thing, but it was a very important thing. And the point I want to break across to you this morning is, if you are fulfilling some position that you feel is insignificant, you don't know how important it is right at the moment. They didn't realize how important it was for Paul to get away. But man, look what accomplished. See, that's in the first part of his ministry. In chapter 9, you look on over there in the 20 chapters and see what all Paul was doing. Now, he's the visible one, but it was because of some invisible, seemingly insignificant person that helped that Paul was able to fulfill the dream. Every one of you that are involved in this church in any way. And just this past week, I want to thank all of you that were involved. You see, I waited till now. I could have done an announcement, but I waited till now because I want you to understand. See, y'all don't even know who all they were behind the scenes that made the CTA be what it was. The ladies that served. And the stage that was decorated. A group got together and brainstormed and come up with that. Other people had to build it. Other people had to paint it, had to hang it. People today, y'all never realize it. Y'all see some of the camera operators there. But do you realize without those people there, there wouldn't be any pictures? And sitting behind that screen right there is the control room. Yes, sir. And there's, I don't know, 6-8 people up there that are involved in putting stuff on the screen, a director that's calling the screenshots, different ones, and there's one person that's involved in making sure that the live stream is getting out where it needs to go. Oh, y'all never even think about that. And they seemingly are insignificant, but how important all these camera operators, those people up there are, y'all look at me, but nobody could be seeing me in India or Thailand or Germany or Africa if it wasn't for these people that seemingly are an insignificant part. You see, much attention and much praise was given to the Apostle Paul and all his missionary journeys. But you know what? If you study this, equal importance should be given to Barnabas and Titus and Silas and Luke and Timothy and John Mark and others that were a part of Paul's company. Paul couldn't have done it without these other guys. Come on now. See, they were all, on any team, there are always those that are at the forefront. They're visible. But it's the other guys in the invisible position sometimes, the guys that don't get any of the glory, that make it really happen. The quarterback gets all the glory. But I'll tell you what, if it weren't for those guys down there in what we call the trenches, thank God I was always too skinny to get down in there. I graduated from high school at 145 pounds, 6 foot two, 145, but I could fly. See, my part was being able to fly down the field and catch a pass or take a pitch out and get around the end. You know, but I'm not going to catch no pass. The quarterback's not going to throw no pass if those guys down there in the middle are not knocking the fire out of the guys that's trying to get to him to tackle him. Yeah. I mean, and some, they don't give very much praise. During CTA, one of the speakers was mentioning Emmitt Smith, and he's the most prolific. He has more yardage than anybody. He even surpassed Walter Payton. As you know, and one year, of course, I'm a Cowboy. I lived in Dallas when Dallas started, and I've been with Dallas ever since. I know they're up and down, but any pro team will be up and down, up and down. We're gonna come back one of these days, all right? But at the end of one of the seasons, when he had had a tremendous season of rushing yardage, he bought every one of his linemen a Rolex watch. Because he was saying, hey, God, without you, I wouldn't have this record. Now, most people didn't talk much about him, about the line. They talked about Emmitt Smith, the runner. See, I want you to understand, it is the seemingly the insignificant, the behind the scenes people that most of the time are more important than we that are out front. Oh, I should have had a bunch of amens there. The Rhema Bible Church dream cannot be accomplished by me and the pastoral staff. It can only be accomplished by teamwork. Yes. All October, we had a tremendous time of celebrating our 30 years, and we said the future is bright, and we kept going on to that. But I'm going to tell you why. The future is dim unless you join the team. Yes. Our motto represents our dream, living life unlimited with God. See, we believe that because of what John 10:10 says. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And what Luke 18:27 says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. See, our dream and our vision, as we work together as the dream team. See, for you that weren't here last week, I started out talking about the dream team, the U.S. Olympic dream team that won everything. I think their average was 44. They beat everybody by an average of 44 points, I think. It was the greatest assemblies of basketball players that this country has ever had. But I want to tell you what, our dream, Our dream team is all of us. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're part of the dream team. Now point at yourself and say, I'm part of the dream team. Now let's all say it together. Rhema Bible Church. The dream team that will accomplish what God has called us to do. Because we understand it's team. You know, because of everybody being involved, it enables us to minister to the brokenhearted. It enables us to encourage people and tell them, hey, you can make it. It helps us, all of us can motivate each other to reach our potential with God. We have evangelism to reach out to the lost. You know, we can have the biggest and the best dream. We can have a lot of people coming together. But unless we do it, it's not accomplished. At Rhema Bible Church, man, we got all kinds. We're the dream team, and inside the dream team, we got all kinds of other teams. We got the usher team, the connection team, the altar care team, the student ministry team, which includes the children ministry teams and the youth ministry teams. We got the music teams, the traffic teams, the school of the Bible teams, the we care team, the link teams, the pastoral staff team. See, in the Rhema Bible Church, the dream team. Now, underneath that, we have all these other teams that make up the Rhema Bible Church team. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. And we have other teams. And these teams help us to make up the dream that God has called us to be, with each one of us taking our place on our team and doing what we can to make it happen. Through teamwork, the dream will be accomplished. It's the key. Teamwork is the key to accomplishing the dream. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read this from the New King James and then the NLT. I'll wait to see these people on the front row. When they get it, I'll start reading. That way I know everybody's got it, I hope. All right, looks like the front row's got it. All right, here we go. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now I want to read that from the NLT. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants, the one who waters, works together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's fields, and you are God's building. Now, I want you to notice it said, what is in the one who plants and the one who waters works together for the same purpose. Both will be rewarded. You see, everybody looks at the pastors and the pastor and the senior pastor and all the other pastors. We're not going to get any better reward than you are. It says here, each is rewarded for what he does. Yes. Now, on the other hand, you could say, if you're not doing nothing, you're not gonna get no reward. A friend of Craig's, and I know him now, but Craig went to OSU with him. Craig, Corey Williams. Craig went to OSU with him. He played basketball at Corey played basketball at OSU. He went on to play with the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan and them. And we were sitting at one of our Rhema Eagles golf tournaments, and he was playing with us. I think he's coaching in Florida now, Craig. Huh? I think he's coaching. He was coach at that time. He's out here assisting at ORU. And he said, I never started in a basketball game as a Bull. I played in a few. But he said, I'm wearing a national championship basketball ring. He never was noted for scoring a bunch of points like Jordan was and Pippen and some of the rest of them. But I'm gonna tell you what, he got the same ring on his hand. See, some people think, you know, the subs and the subs are they're significant. And when the awards are given out, hey, they're rewarded for what they did. What did they do? They were there practicing and making the other guys work hard. They were there in case they were needed to go into the game. And some of them never got in the game, but they still got the ring because they were rewarded for what they did. We, as part of the dream team, we're all going to be rewarded for what we do. What we do, you do, I do. Man, it is so much better, and God can take us so much further when everybody on the team is doing their part. It's important that we work together. We have got to get the mentality out of our head, no big I's and little U's. We are all working together. Hello? You know, as God's children, we all got the same status. Come on. Craig and Denise, they're my kids. They got the same status. I got five grandsons, Cameron, Blake, Skyler, Trevor, Wesley. They all got the same status. I'm their poppy. Hello, come on. We need to get the idea there's not, just like in a family, we're all part of the family. We are all part of the Rhema Bible Church family, and we all work together, and we accomplish what God wants us to do because we're all part of the team. Anybody getting a hold of what I'm trying to say this morning? Our future is bright when we get the idea out of our head of the big eyes. The big eyes will destroy the potential of the team. Amen. Yes, sir. That's true in the sports arena. That's true in the business arena. That's true in the church. Michael Jordan said this, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. And if you will go back, and Jordan, before Jordan and them started winning their championships, Jordan was scoring 50 and 45 and 55 points, and they were losing. But when they got a team together that could help, then they started winning. And it is said of Jordan, and it's said of any good player like that, they do their best to get everybody involved and make them better. What am I trying to do today? I am trying to show that we are all on the team.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are.
And there's no big I's and little U's. It's all of us taking our place together and working together. And we're all going to share the prize. Hello? Having the dream is great, but being a part of fulfilling the dream is greater. Yeah. You're very important to the dream team, Rhema Bible Church dream team. Nobody can take your place. You have talents and you have things to contribute to the team that nobody else does. What you do in the church is valuable. Now, when you build a team, let's say when I build my church staff team, I don't need people that can do what I can do. I can do that. I need people to fulfill what I can't do. There is nobody in the world, I don't think, personally, better than Bill Ray as a pastoral care pastor. He has a heart as big as gold, and he can sit and listen to people talk and so forth. He comes and tells me what's going on. I said, Bill, my personality, I would go absolutely crazy. Now he'll come, after he talks to somebody, he'll come and ask me what my ideas are about some stuff, and I can do that, but I that's not me. Now, I use that one. And the other my other staff members all have different abilities, and I assign them to the abilities that they have.
Yes, yes,
hello.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
As we work together, our pastoral team accomplishes. As each of you work together in the team that you're a part of, and if you're not a part of a team in this church, you need to get on a team, a link team, a traffic team, a music team, some team you need to be on, and you need to be putting your input in.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. I am a visionary. I'm not I can't put it down on paper. I'm not a detailed person. They had staff meeting, and Lynette's a detailed person, and Marvin and them, they all get together. Hey, I get up and walk out. This is my dream. Y'all make it. Y'all give me something to work with, and I can get up there and I can make it happen. That's my personality. Hey, realize who you are and where you can fit in on the team. See, there's no use of taking, when I was playing ball, there was no use of taking a 145 pounder and putting him down in at a defensive tackle because there's a guy on the other side of me that's probably going to be weighing 250 pounds. That's not where I fit. Hello? No, you got to look and see, I got speed. Okay, hey, he'd be good out here on the outside because he can run somebody down. Come on, you understand what I'm saying to you? Each one of you have your talents. You have what you can do. Now, I'm encouraging you, come on, get involved with the team, and our future is bright. Our future is dim unless all of us get involved together and join the team and begin to accomplish what we are supposed to accomplish with our dream team of Rhema Bible Church. If somebody said, well, I don't know what my place is, I'm having trouble. Hey, then go talk to somebody. And whenever they tell you what, don't be upset when they tell you, hey, you're not one to get up and speak. You need to be working over here. Everybody wants to get up here and speak. Everybody's not qualified for that. But everybody is qualified to do something on the team. You know, the quarterback can't throw the pass, catch the pass, and tackle the other people on defense. He's got his job. There are other people do their job. I can't do everything. The staff can't do everything. But when we all come together as a part of the dream team, we will accomplish what God has for this dream team, Rhema Bible Church, to do. Everybody stand up, please. I preached long enough. Say this with me. Our future is bright. As long as we all join the team. And get involved. Doing what we can do. When we do, we will accomplish the dream. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that? How many of you understand what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment, please. I realize that actually you got to get on God's team before you can be a part of the church team. And that's done by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or by rededicating your life. There may be people here today that knows what it is to serve God, but you've just not where you're supposed to be. Or you may be like a lot of people I meet. They go to church and they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. Well, you know, if you don't know whether you're on the team or not, you're in trouble. You know before you leave. Anybody here today, say, I need Jesus. I need a no-so experience with Christ, or I need to rededicate my life. Lift your hand right now. I want to pray with you, and I'll pray for you. Anybody in this building, anywhere. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Is there anybody who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? I know there was a hand raised over here for either rededication, salvation. There's a hand raised for Holy Spirit somewhere here. They're trying to point them out to me. Those TV lights are bright. Up in the balcony, there's hands. I want to ask y'all to do something else. I said I wanted to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to come down to the front. I want to shake your hand. I want to pray with you. If you're in the balcony, they'll help you get down the stairs and get down here. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in that aisle and come on down here right now. We're going to minister to you, and your life's going to change, and you're going to get to be a part of the team. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. If you don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody. They'll walk right down here with you. Hallelujah. Right here. Just stand still till I get some more people down here. All right, buddy. Bless you. Just stand right there. Come on. Come on. I know somebody's coming from the balcony. I see them coming there. Y'all just come on right here. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, you brought them down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. That's great. Bring them down. Hallelujah. Come on. I know some are coming out of the balcony. We'll wait for just a minute for those that are coming out of the balcony. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you need to go down there? I'll walk down there with you. Hallelujah to Jesus. God is good. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Keep singing there. It's all right. You can sing under. I can talk over top of you. I got loud lungs. We got them coming from the balcony. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Here comes somebody right here. Somebody ask somebody. She turned and asked her. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, Hallelujah.
Open up.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for bringing her. Hey, bless you, young lady. Glory to God. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Here comes somebody from the balcony right here. That's a long walk, but it's well worth it. Hallelujah. God bless you, young lady. Hallelujah. Got one more coming from the balcony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what it's all about right here, people. We're getting new team members today. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come right on, guys. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless you, man. God bless you. Bless you, buddy. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hey, all y'all that are standing here, look this way just a minute. I got three books in my hand called New Birth in Him and Why Tongues If You Come to Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if I said I'm going to give you these books and I stick them out here like this, what you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. Right there. You reached out first. You got them. They're yours. Hey, all of y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. I did that as an exercise that says, I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come down here for. It comes from heaven on high. Okay? Just as he reached out for those books, I want you to reach one hand, I don't care which one it is, toward heaven. And with that hand, you're saying, Heavenly Father, I'm reaching up to get what I came down here for. Congregation, reach your hands toward him as we pray today. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for each and every one of these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with you. Blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Hey, put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. Now, I prayed a short prayer. But I want you to go to a place where you can be prayed with individually and in-depth and given those books, really. Letter from me. See Brother Greg right over there? I want you to go to that place. Now, we call it a prayer room right now, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is Turning Point? It's just a few classes to get your life turned back on to God or turned on to God for the first time. That's all it is. And I'd like to see y'all in that class next Sunday morning. Would you turn and just follow Brother Greg to that place of prayer right now? Give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what it's all about right there. That's what it's all about right there. Hallelujah. We got some new team members coming in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to encourage all of you to look in that paper bulletin. How many of you got a paper bulletin? If you don't get a paper bulletin, get one out there. Or go online and read it online, okay? It's there. There's all kinds of opportunities to join a team and get involved. I want to see everybody in this church involved in a team. Because when that happens, we're going to have to open all these curtains, not just part of them. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that? How many of you are going to get involved? How many of you that are involved are going to get more involved? Because it takes us all. Amen. Praise God. Anybody enjoying this series? Oh, thank you. I tell you what, my sister right down here, she keeps me going because she's egging me on, man. That's what we say down in Texas. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I thank you. Hey, a guy that's up preaching, he needs somebody to encourage him. Sort of like that. Sort of like the rest of the geese honking at the guy up leading, the first leading. He needs that. That keeps him going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we have Hour of Power. Now tonight, this is Brother Bob's last Sunday. You know, we announced several weeks ago that he's moving back to Nashville to and going to on a staff over there and another at a church. His family's already there. And this is his last Sunday with us, and he'll be speaking tonight. So come believing, come expecting, okay? Hallelujah. Now, they're going to sing a chorus. Let me get down that aisle right there to the north door so I can shake your hand. And see, it's 11:29. So see, I got you out almost on time. All right. All right. Let's sing. We'll see you tonight. Hey, remember, if you want to go on the trip, go ahead, staff. Get to the doors. If you want to go on the trip, you go out there, all the other things that we need. Hey, don't forget, next Sunday, we're bringing food. Okay? God bless. We're singing, and they'll dismiss you.